Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today, as you would already know by now, is Step Up Sunday. For those of you who are new in our midst, what we do every year is we take one Sunday to encourage everyone in our church to prayerfully consider stepping up to serve in one of the many ministries that our church has. So do take some time after going down. Just take a look at what God is doing in our church. Of course, they are not all the ministries. They are selected ministries each year. So take some time to do so after the service. Today is Step Up Sunday, and I came up with a brilliant sermon title called Step Up. But today, we're not going to go off into a topical message. We are actually, in fact, continuing in our book series in the book of Matthew. So we managed to sync up Step Up Sunday with our pulpit series. So last week, Pastor Kay Kiong went through Matthew 13, the last portion. And today we'll be looking at Matthew 14 in the first segment. So I'd like to encourage us to, would you stand to your feet now as we read the passage of scripture that we have today? Let's stand as we read the passage today. Ready? One, two, go. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages to buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who besides women and children. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks for your word this morning, that as we look into what you have in terms of stepping up to serve with you in building your kingdom, Lord, would you come and stir our hearts, open our eyes to see as you see, so that we may do as you say and build your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we will come to learn about 2 spiritual anchors that will enable us to step up and build God's kingdom together with Him. 2 spiritual anchors. And we'll come to learn this morning that as His disciples, we step up with His compassion in us and His power through us. His compassion in us and His power through us. And so as we look at this, you would have already noticed that there are 2 passages that I put together. And they are intentionally placed together because they are the 2 feeding accounts in the book of Matthew. So we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14, this passage that we just read as our base, alongside with Matthew 15, 32 to 38, which is also a similar feeding account. The reason why we put it together is because they are of the same focus, same thrust, and same flow. So we put it together so it's easier for us to go through moving forward. So these are the 2 passages that we'll be looking at. So let's dive right in. Let's dive right into the passage. So if you have a Bible with you, would you turn your Bibles with me to the passage as we follow along in the text? Now, in verse 13, we come to see and read. It says, "Now when Jesus heard this," when Jesus heard this. Now, any any Singaporeans because we have fantastic teachers in MOE. And we will learn and know that when we read this, now when Jesus heard this, the question that we ask ourselves is, what is this? What is this that Jesus heard? And how we come to learn about what this is, we look above in the few verses before that to come to learn what did Jesus hear. And as we look above in the passage, in verses 1 through 12, we come to learn, first and foremost, Jesus' fame has spread throughout the region. It spread like wildfire to the point that Herod the Tetrarch came to know about Jesus. And at the same time, we came to learn about the fate of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was imprisoned by Herod, and it was on the fateful day when, during the birthday of Herod, that one of the people in the crowd, in the party, Herodias, requested for John's head. And so Herod agreed to that request, and he basically beheaded John the Baptist, as we learned in the earlier verses. And verse 12, this is what we see. It says, and his disciples came and took the body of John the Baptist, and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. So that's the context that will set up our time later on. Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist. This is what he heard in verse 13. And so Jesus heard of it, and he needed time alone to process. He needed time to process and be alone with God. We learned he withdrew there in a boat to a desolate place. He wanted to be with no one. That was the context that we read in verse 13. But at the same time, we come to learn that the crowds heard it and they followed him on foot from the towns. He was so famous that everyone knew his movements and they followed him from their towns on foot to the desolate place. So this is a context to which we come to see. And then when we see next, as Jesus went on the boat, he's traveling, and finally he reaches his destination in verse 14. And what do we see? When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, something like this, a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. He went ashore, and he saw a great crowd. Now, here is where we get the participation from the congregation today. We're going to try something new. It's called Covenant Camp. So what we're going to do now is, if your face happens to be on the screen, oh, yeah, oh, what we're going to do is you're going to reenact this sentence. He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. You're going to reenact the sentence when your face is seen on a camera crew, okay? So today, the camera crew has all the power, okay, to be able to select any random people, okay? So camera crew, please choose your first volunteer. Okay, Dixon, stand up. Where are you, Dixon? Where's Dixon? Dixon, stand up. Don't need to shy. Hey, you're not shy one. I know you're not shy. Dixon? Okay, yes. Where are you? Okay, zoom out a little bit. Okay, I'm going to read the sentence, and I want you to reenact as though you're Jesus, and you saw a great crowd, and you had compassion, okay? He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Camera rolling and action. Huh? What did he say? You're supposed to act out. You're supposed to act out this description. He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Act it out. Yeah, act it out, yeah. Okay, not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I can act in Mediacorp. Okay, next. Next victim, next volunteer. Sorry. Camera crew, take it away. Okay, hello. Hi, okay. They select their own crew. He's also a camera crew folk. Okay, ready, are you ready? He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Camera rolling and action. No reaction. Try. Wait. Okay, a bit shy. Okay. Oh! He had great compassion. That's how you show, okay? Good try. One more person. Camera crew, pick your final. Pick wisely. This is your last chance. Okay, who's this? Never pay attention. Hi. Okay. Just to let you know, we have very good cameras. Yeah, I can zoom in a lot. Hi. Okay, I'm going to read a sentence. Do your best to just act out what you think this sentence is, okay? He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Camera rolling and action. Aww. Wonderful. Let's give them a round of applause. So please pay attention because we might have more covenant camps moments. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. So we begin to see in Jesus' shoes, Jesus met and he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them. Now the question is, what does this compassion look like? We come to learn in verse 14. He had compassion on them and he healed the sick. That's in the first feeding narrative. The other feeding narrative, we learn Jesus was already healing the crowd in the Matthew 15 narrative. And we came to a point where they were already with Jesus for 3 days. And Jesus had compassion on them to feed them because they were already hungry. So in two accounts, Jesus had compassion on them to meet a physical need, a felt need that the crowd has. In chapter 14, it was a physical healing that Jesus was meeting. In Matthew 15, it was physical hunger. Physical hunger, physical healing. Both accounts, Jesus had compassion on them when he saw the felt need. So that's the context as we read more that Jesus had compassion on. And we read on in verse 15. We learned that they have reached a time where it was now in the evening. And so the disciples came to Jesus, being very practical, forward thinkers, to say, hey, this is a desolate place. Verse 15, a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. If you know the feeding narratives, there were about 5,000 men and 4,000 men, excluding women and children. Including them, there were about 12 to 15,000 people in both the narratives. And the disciples were making a very strategic call. He said, Jesus, we really don't have what it takes to be able to feed these folks. Let's send them away because this is a place, there's nothing, there's no food. And here we begin to see the difference between how the disciples saw the crowd and how Jesus saw the crowd. When Jesus saw the great crowd, he had compassion. The question is, what does this compassion look like? What are some characteristics of this compassion? From the text, we come to see there are three key things about Jesus' compassion. As we ask and as we follow the Lord to step up and we ask the Lord to grant us his compassion in us, it will stir our hearts to give of three things as we learn from the passage. Firstly, our convenience. Number two, our time. And number three, our resources. We learned that Jesus was wanting some me time. He wanted to be alone in verse 13. But in verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. What did Jesus do? Did he hide? Did he try to avoid and turn around and take the boat somewhere else? No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus had compassion on them when he saw them. Jesus was willing to be inconvenienced. That's the first thing. Number two, we learned in both passages that Jesus spent the whole day to the evening with the crowds to heal them. Likewise, in the other Matthew 15 account, Jesus was with them not 1 day, not 2 days, but 3 days. Jesus was with them because he had compassion on them. So we begin to see Jesus gave of his time, his convenience, and resources ultimately. We will come to learn in a bit where Jesus would call his disciples to be the people to bring in whatever they could find to feed the crowd. When we have his compassion in us, it stirs our hearts to give of our convenience, our time, and our resources. question for us is, do we see as He sees? That when we look at the needs around us, when we look at the people, our colleagues, our friends, do we see them the way Jesus sees them and have compassion on them? Do we see as He sees? You know, I remember about a year ago, I met this wonderful gentleman. His name is Danny. He's 67 years old this year, but it was last year, so he was 66. When I met him, I was in Orchard Ion waiting for my wife. It was a Tuesday on my Sabbath. I needed some time by myself. It was a busy week. I needed just some time to decompress, spend some time with God, read some books. So I was reading a book at Starbucks. So I was reading. I was really in the zone. Though it's a very dry, it's a theoretical book. I was just reading it. I was following the writer's chain of thought and argument. And I was like, okay, I'm in the zone. You know, in the zone, and I don't want to be disturbed by anything. And then at the corner of my eye, there was this guy, Danny. He came, he sat down, he opened his laptop, set up, do his own thing. At the corner of my eye, he started glancing over. He glanced over once, twice, many times. And then eventually he tapped me on the shoulder. Then I was like, okay, hi. No, obviously I said nice, hi. Hi, how can I help you? So he said, I need some help with a Facebook post. I'm doing something for my business and I'm trying to edit my Facebook post. Can you help me with it? And my mom's like, I'm terrible at social media. What help can I give you? But I was like, okay, I'll just try. But just to let you know, I'm not very good with social media things, but I'll help you, okay? So I try to figure it out, and somehow by the grace of God, my limited technological skills managed to help him. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. I was like, oh, glad I could help you with my limited skills. So I went back. I was like, okay, time to go back to my zone. Let's continue reading, following in the zone, back in the zone. And then in the corner of my eye, a few minutes later, he looked at me. He glanced over once, glanced over twice, many times. Then he tapped me again. He said, sorry to disturb you again. Then I was like, hi, yes. How can I help you now? And he said, I just want to thank you for helping me earlier on. So here's a gift for you. So he gave me a toothbrush. Here's a toothbrush for you. This is something that I'm actually selling for my business. One of the things, free gift for you as a thank you gift. That's all. Oh, thank you so much. I thought it would be over. Then he said, let me tell you more about this wonderful toothbrush. So he went on to tell me about this toothbrush. I was like, oh, wonderful. Tell me all about this wonderful toothbrush. Can you help me brush my teeth? But anyway, I just hear him out. Oh, okay, wonderful. And then as I was hearing, the Lord convicted me. He's like, son, why don't you hear more about his story? Hear about his life. Ask him that question. So after he finished sharing this amazing product, I basically asked, hey, so Danny, tell me more about your life. I'd love to hear about how you ended up working and doing this business that you have part-time. So he shared with me his life. And so it went on to a full-blown one-hour conversation. So I was like, okay, the book I read another time. But anyways, so I had a full-blown one-hour conversation with him. And throughout the conversation, we got to know him personally, his challenges, his struggles. And at one point, he was just tearing. He was just sharing his challenges in his own family context. And as I was hearing, the Lord prompted me again, said, son, why don't you share with him the gospel? So I was like, oh, okay. So after he finished sharing, I said, hey, thank you, Danny, for sharing your life. I really appreciate and love hearing what you've been doing. Don't mind me, just as how you shared with me a product, right? I'm not here to share your product, but I want to share with you a person, not a product. And it's also free. It's also free. So can you spare me some time to just share with you a little bit about this person? Free for you. He said, okay, Ken. So we spent some time, shared the gospel. After hearing all the worldview that he has, kind of like tweaked the gospel to help him understand from his worldview. And then after sharing all these things, I basically after that went and asked him, so Danny, upon hearing this thing about this Jesus, who this Jesus is, I have a question for you. So now this gift is offered to you, this gift of eternal life found in Jesus. Do you want to receive this free gift of eternal life? He looked at me and said, I don't see why not. So I said, oh, okay, like that also can. So I said the sinner's prayer with him and he prayed to receive Christ. Let's give the Lord a shout. Yeah. And to seal the deal, I asked him, so Danny, where do you stay? And then he said, oh, I stay in Sengkang. I said, fantastic. Second gift for you. 3 years time, God gave you a gift, a new church in Sengkang. So you can go when you're able to. Yeah, so Danny has been coming on and off when he's able to Woodlands for now, when he has time not working. So I share with you this story because it reminded me a lot of how sometimes we don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't. Sometimes we got our time very carefully, and sometimes God wants to use our inconvenience. He wants to use our time that we have to do something beyond our wildest imagination. So after that incident, I was like, God, disrupt me anytime you want. Grant me all the divine appointments. I don't mind anything for people to come to know Jesus. And so that's how, as we continue to allow God to disrupt us, as we continue to ask God, would you grow in me the compassion you have for your kingdom? And as we do so, we begin to see as he sees. The second thing that we come to learn from the narrative that we're going to look at now is we not only need his compassion in us, we need his power through us. We need his power through us. Look with me now as we continue the rest of the narrative. We learned that it was already in the evening, there was no food in the area, and the disciples said, send the crowds away. And in Matthew 15, they asked, where are we to get enough? Basically, they're saying, there's no way we're going to be able to feed all these 12 to 15,000 people. Send them away. But notice what Jesus says next in both accounts. What did Jesus say? Jesus says in Matthew 14, 16, he says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Who did he ask to give something to eat? He said, you. And likewise, in Matthew 15, he asked it from a form of a question. How many loaves do you have? The disciples pushed the problem away, but Jesus says, no, I'm going to bring the problem back to you. How are you going to provide for them? We notice how, from the very beginning, Jesus involved his disciples in the miracles. Right from the start, Jesus says, I want you to be part of this miracle that I'm about to do. And I'm going to use whatever you bring to do that miracle. And so Jesus invites them to be part of the miracle work that he's about to do. Bring me whatever you have. You give them something to eat. And in particular, Matthew 14, in the phrase, you give them something to eat, in the Greek, there was actually another additional word that's actually put in there that's not translated. And it's the word humes. Basically, it's a pronoun that refers to y'all, you all, plural. But it's redundant. Without that word, you can still have the same meaning. But the author put it in to show emphasis. To show emphasis that Jesus wanted the disciples, you give them, you, something to eat. You. Turn to someone next to you and say, you. Then turn to someone else and say, me? Is Jesus talking about you or me? We come to learn about the feeding miracle because the feeding miracle occurs in all the Gospels in some variation. In John's account, we learned a little bit more about the life of the Galileans and the people in the Galilean area. Philip, the disciple of Jesus, said, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Now, for some context, a day wage is about 1 denarii. A day wage is about 1 denarii. And 200 denarii means 200 days of work. And Philip was saying, even 200 days of my pay of working is not enough to feed even a little. Now you understand why the disciples were making a strategic call to say it's impossible to feed so many people. But Jesus says, bring to me. You bring to me. Who is this me that Jesus is talking about? The me is not you and I. The me is who? Jesus. Jesus says, bring them to me. That's what Jesus says. Bring whatever little, whatever small and insignificant thing and resource that you might have, bring them to me. You know, as you think about loaves and fish, we might think of the modern-day loaf and the modern-day Soon Hock fish or whatever fish you want to call it. Some of you might think, different fish for you lah. Some of you like sashimi, you think of the big tuna. But that's not the fish and that's not the loaf that we come to learn and know of in the scriptures. The loaf and the fish is more like this. The loaf is the size of my fist. That's one loaf. And the fish is a sardine can fish. That's how big or how small the size of the fish and the bread is. And so they brought the five loaves and two fish in the Matthew 14 account to Jesus. You know, I wanted to try an experiment, actually. I wanted to lock us all in for lunch to try eating five loaves and two fish. But I won't torture you with this, of course. So they brought the five loaves and two fish to them. And this is what Jesus did. Notice with me here, okay? Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He gave thanks. And he broke the loaves. And he gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. Here is where I want to pause for us to see and observe closely. Jesus didn't have to do any of this. He could have just taken whatever they brought and just multiplied it automatically and give it out himself. But Jesus chose to involve the disciples from the very beginning, ask them to bring their little, their small, bring it to him, and he gave it back to them. He multiplied it and he gave it back to the disciples. And the disciples then gave it out to the crowd. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus could have just called manna from the sky and boom, all the bread you need will be on the ground. He wouldn't even need to get the disciples involved. Jesus could have caught fish to come up from the grass because God can do anything, right? Fish can come out of the grass and they have all the food they need. But Jesus chose to use and get the disciples involved in the whole process. From bringing what they have to multiplying what they could bring to the crowd. What's the principle here? Before we go into the principle, we learn finally at the end of this feeding miracle, they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. And there was even left over 12 baskets full and 7 baskets full accordingly. Jesus took the place from not enough to just enough to more than enough. Jesus takes our not enough. He brings it in. He multiplies it so that we come to have more than enough for the people of his kingdom. What's the principle here? The principle here is this. God chooses to involve you and I in building his kingdom. It's a privilege that we get the chance to be able to partner with God, to step up and to build his kingdom together. And perhaps, what if you're small? What if you're insignificant, small and little? It's exactly what God wants to multiply. And the fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves is, will we choose to surrender no matter how small, no matter how insignificant things that we have to the Lord so that he can do that miracle first in you and later through you? Two things that is important that will enable us to step up and build his kingdom. His compassion in us, that we get the eyes to see as he sees. And number two, to have his power working through us when we choose to surrender our small. Two fundamental spiritual anchors that will enable us to step up to build God's kingdom. At this point, I'd like to invite Edwin as he comes to share a little bit of how God used his five loaves and two fishes. Let's welcome Edwin.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Edwin, for taking time. Maybe just introduce yourself to the crowd. Who are you, your family? Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So my name is Edwin, and this is a recent photo. This is a photo of my family. My wife, Adeline, and I have 4 children. Ethan, Elijah, Emma, and Emmanuel. Mm. So to all the DMKs, I see some of you here. Thank you for taking care of them every Sunday. They all speak very well of being in TNG. And I've been in Covenant for more than 10 years, slightly more than 10 years. And actually, my journey to serving is summarized in two words: too long.
Too long.
So I was actually in the pews for many years. That before I joined a covenant group, and then after that, a few more years before we joined Story Builders, about 6 years ago. So I was very comfortable where I was, but I felt God calling us to offer what we have, however small, to serve. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Perhaps maybe just share with us a little bit of what are some things and highlights for your time serving with Story Builders.
Thank you. So Story Builders, actually, once a month, once a month, we go to the Void Deck, and then we say stories of craft. We do crafts with them, and then we tell stories and we play games with them. So once a month at the Void Deck, about 20 or 30 children will come. And
share with us a little bit of when do you step up?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The turning point came when we accepted a simple invitation to serve in Story Builders. At first, it felt like I was just bringing 5 loaves and 2 fish. What difference could I make? But we decided to step up anyway. And as we began to serve, we saw God taking our small yes and our willingness to show up, to share stories, and multiply it. We did not need to be superheroes. We just need to bring what we have. And serving brought my family closer. It also brought my covenant group closer. It gave me a platform to show to my children the power of small offerings. And we grew. We grew not just in service, but in love and unity. We also had the privilege of watching God do more than what we can imagine.
Amen. Maybe just share with us some highlights and how God has done so, as you mentioned. Yeah, the Story Builders.
Thank you. Yeah, so I prepared some photos. This is actually Mother's Day, so May. So our May session, a group of covenanters stepped up. They say that let's make it more meaningful. They create a photo booth so that people can take photos with their mothers.
Wonderful.
And one of them actually bought what must be 30 or 40 flowers so that each mother at the Story Builders can receive a flower on Mother's Day.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Next picture, please. Yeah. So this picture is actually children playing bingo. But what was interesting is that actually on that week, a few people couldn't make it. And the one person became the game's IC. So he created this game. And later I found out that he actually took leave that day because it was his birthday. But he decided that he will spend the evening with us. And that really encouraged me.
So he spent his birthday helping with this.
Yes, wow. Yes.
So encouraging.
Yeah. Next slide, please. Yeah, so the first two pictures were taken by a covenanter who is much better in photography. This one is taken by me. Yeah, you can see the difference already. So, but this one, when I took it, it's the picture of the playground next to the Void Deck. And it's a picture of, you can see covenanters with covenant children and also community children. And I felt God telling me that this is the church.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually went to ask the children, both covenanted children and community children, what's your favorite part about Story Builders? And then they say, it's the time before and after Story Builders.
The relationship.
Yeah, it's the relationship that is built through this. So even the young children play, at least my children play an important role in building this relationship with the family.
Amazing.
This picture is a picture of covenant, basically CGs becoming closer. And I want to draw your attention to the number 5. So number 5, this is actually the Children's Day Carnival that we hold every October. And last October, it was an Olympic team, and someone who is more artistically inclined than me actually designed this number 5 with the shooting one. So I think this booth was like archery or something like that. Yeah. Next slide, please. And this is a picture of many, many covenanters stepping up together. So this is the same event. And you can see there's number 6, number 5, and so on. So these are the different booths, all designed by this this artistic person.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And yeah, so it was really a joy watching so many covenanters serve together and the community enjoying being part of the carnival. This year, the theme is How to Train a Dragon. So hopefully, we will also enjoy serving together those who are in Story Builders, and also that the community enjoy it also.
Wonderful. One last thing before you give your final word to the covenanters. You mentioned before, Prior, that you guys are expanding from one space, one block, to now eventually 3 blocks, right?
Yes. So actually, for about 10 years, so Story Builders have been around for about 10 years, and we do it monthly in 2 locations, 588A, the Void Deck there, and 552A, another Void Deck. And next year, we had the opportunity to do Story Builders in the third site, 546A, the Void Deck near the McDonald's.
Wow. Wow, thank you. Wonderful. Any final words for our covenanters here on Step Up Sunday?
Yes. So, we rehearse well. Before I go to the final words, I actually wanted to say, with the third site, it also means that there's opportunity for everyone to step up in to serve in Story Builders if you do feel the calling with your CG. And the final thing I prepared was to say, friends, it's easy to feel like what you have is too small, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. But remember the miracle. Don't wait like I did. Service starts by bringing what you do have. Take the first step. Take that small yes today. Offer your time, your skill, or your presence. When we step up in faith, even in simple ways, we are placing our offering in God's hands. And He multiplies it.
Amen.
You experience deep joy, you share Christ's love tangibly, and you watch how He used your faithfulness to change lives. Bring what you have, step out now, trust Him, and watch Him multiply it. Thank you very
Amen.
Much.
Amen. Thank you, Edwin. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you, Edwin. Edwin is one of many, many covenanters who have stepped up to build God's kingdom together with Him, and many of us have been blessed. And one of the things I want to encourage you as we are about to end the service in a bit, I'd like to encourage you that as you go down the escalator, that as you look at the foyer, that you would have the eyes of God. That as you see the great crowd, you would also have the compassion of God to see the needs and to sense where God is calling you to perhaps explore serving in one of the areas. One of the practical ways we can do that, even after going down the foyer, is collectively as a church. One of the things that we need to do before we talk about bringing our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the most important thing is we need to first ask God, would you move me? Would you grant me eyes to see? Would you grant me that compassion? And so one of the ways and practical ways to which we are going to do so in 2 weeks' time is the MRT prayer right. So you can take a picture right now. We're going to mobilize all our CGs across our 3 centers. And each center, we have organized a MRT prayer right. And so on 8 August, 8 p.m., we're going to do a guided prayer, MRT prayer right for all our CGs in our center. So take note of the time and the date. This is how we're going to be able to see the people, to see the needs, and by the grace of God, to be able to grow in our compassion, not just for our church, but the global body of Christ and our nation. And for Woodland Center, we'll be praying for 4 key areas. Our families, our marketplace or school, whichever you're in, nation, and our church. We're going to pray for all these 4 areas in our MRT prayer right. And there will be times where you come out of the train station to do a short prayer walk. So take note of this. We're going to be praying for all this so that we can offer up our 5 loaves and 2 fish to the Lord, that we will be indeed a positive and powerful influence to spread the gospel in all spheres of influence. You know, as we come to a close, as we look at what the scriptures has to say with regards to what is needed for us to step up in the kingdom of God, His compassion in us and His power through us, I want to give us some time right now to ask the Lord, God, what are you showing me? What are you pointing me towards in regards to stepping up, to partner with you in building your kingdom? So I want to give us a few moments right now as we prepare to respond to the Lord. Just a few moments. Some of you, it could be the area of growing in compassion for the people around you. Some of you, you feel what you have is too little, too insignificant. What is the Lord showing you this morning? Now that you have taken some time, you can continue to do so after the service as you go downstairs and take a look. But I want to bring our attention now to this final slide. As you look on the screen, there are different things, different reasons we give of why we don't step up. Some of you feel you're too young, too old. Some of you feel you're not ready. Some of you feel you have no time. Some of you feel that it's too messy to serve. Some of you feel, I'm not gifted. Some of you honestly just say, I'm just really not interested. It's just me and Jesus. All good. Whatever that might be, whatever reason that might be for you, this morning God calls every single one of us. As long as you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, we have the same mandate. We have the same mission. All of us, God calls us. Will you bring whatever small, whatever little to me? So that in you, I can do the work that you can't. And through you, that people will be blessed. Whatever reason that might be this morning for those on site and those online, I'd like to encourage you to take the next step in your own discipleship and disciple making journey, so that together you begin to see God working not just amongst others but in your own life today. And so I'm going to leave you with that. As the service ends, take some time to go down the foyer. Ask the Lord, open my eyes to see where you are leading me. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks for your word this morning and how you've given us the privilege and the opportunity to be able to partner with you to step up. Father, would you stir all our hearts to have this compassion when we see the needs, when we see the people, grant us your compassion so that we might be willing to surrender our 5 loaves and 2 fishes for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this response song together.
We need your grace and mercy. We need to pray like never before. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to mission once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Lord, we humbly come before you. We don't deserve of you what we ask, but we yearn to see your glory. Restore this dying land. Spirit, touch your church.
Spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.